million people have recovered in AA, most of them just as hopelessly addicted to alcohol as we were to drugs. We are grateful to the AA Fellowship for showing us the way to a new life. The 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous as adapted from AA are the basis of our recovery program. We have only broadened their perspective. We follow the same path with a single exception. Our identification is all inclusive in respect to any rule-changing, mind-altering substance. Alcoholism is too limited a term for us. Our problem is not a specific substance. It is a disease called addiction. We believe that as a fellowship, we have been guided by a greater consciousness and are grateful for the direction that has enabled us to build upon an already proven program of recovery.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Todd S. from the Montgomery area.
Hey everybody, I'm Todd, I'm an addict. Okay. I'm nervous right now. And sure.
Good stuff.
Yeah. There you go.
So do I.
Thanks, Diane. So topic is primary purpose. And I want to start by reading Tradition 5 from the NA Basic Text. And it really doesn't matter which NA Basic Text it is, except it matters to me because it's my first NA Basic Text. The first time I touched this book, I was in a state of real desperation. And I don't ever want to forget that. Even though sometimes I do forget, and it gives me a way to continue, you know, to get back on track and remember. All right. So here's what it says. Page 62, Tradition 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. You mean to say that our primary purpose is to carry the message? I thought we were here to get clean. I thought that our primary purpose was to recover from drug addiction. For the individual, this is certainly true. Our members are here to find freedom from addiction and a new way of life. However, groups aren't addicted and don't recover. All groups can do is plant the seed for recovery and bring addicts together so that the magic of empathy, honesty, caring, sharing, and service can do their work. The purpose of this tradition is to ensure that this atmosphere of recovery is maintained. This can only be achieved by keeping our groups recovery-oriented. The fact that we, each and every group, focus on carrying the message provides consistency. Addicts can count on us. Unity of action and purpose makes possible what seemed impossible for us: recovery. The 12th step of our personal program also says that we carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Working with others is a powerful tool. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. For the newcomers, this is how they found Narcotics Anonymous and learned to stay clean. For the members, this reaffirms their commitment to recovery. The group is the most powerful vehicle we have for carrying the message. When a member carries the message, he is somewhat bound by interpretation and personality. The problem with literature is language. The feelings, the intensity, and the strengths are sometimes lost in our group with many different personalities. The message of recovery is a recurring theme. What would happen if our groups had another primary purpose? We feel our message would be diluted and then lost. If we concentrated on making money, many might get rich. If we were a social club, we could find many friends and lovers. I'm just going to read what's written. If we specialized in education, we'd end up with many smart addicts. If our specialty was medical help, many would get healthy. If our group purpose were anything other than to carry the message, many would die and few would find recovery. What is our message? That an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message, see, is a little different, right? Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. When it is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that is all we have to give. This is Tradition 5 from the NA Basic Text, 3rd edition revised. 3rd edition revised that I got at Solly Playground in Philadelphia. So Philly gals over there. You know, when I got here, you know, I had never successfully been a part of any group. I wasn't part of my family. You know, at least I didn't feel like I was part of my family. I was always the odd man out. And I knew how to fit in real good. And I still do. I know how to fit in real, real good for a short period of time in almost any crowd. I got that chameleon thing that so many of us have. And I can, you know, I can work my way into any crew and not be so far out of place. But in terms of really feeling like I'm a part of, you know, I never had it until I got here. Never was part of a group. Never experienced that, really. And tried a couple different sports when I was in high school, you know. And as soon as I would do something wrong, I would run away. You know, like I thought that every time you swung the bat, you were supposed to hit the ball. Every time you swung the bat, you had to hit the ball. And if that didn't happen, something was wrong with me. And if you saw it, I had to get the fuck away from you. You know? And that kind of like perfectionism and that shame of just being a human being who's not perfect is something that, you know, was in me so deep when I got here that I didn't even know it was in me. I had no idea. In fact, I didn't even know till fairly recently, you know, and I've been clean a long time. I've been clean more than 26 years, you know, and you know what? For almost all that time, I've had a sponsor, and for a lot of that time, I've been engaged in step work, and for almost all that time, I've had a home group, you know, and I've done a lot of service, you know, so it's not like I was coasting, you know what I mean? You know, I was growing, but like each thing that I was ready to get, I got when I got it. Just like each thing that I haven't gotten yet, I'll get when I'm ready to get it. You know? So it means I'm still not perfect. You know, I can swing and miss sometimes. And that is the biggest freedom in the world. You know, that is the biggest freedom in the world for me. So I never had that. You know, I never had that. Inside, I always held myself to a standard, and then when I didn't meet up to it, I would never, like, I would get mad at other people, and I would run away from those other people, you know. So to have, like, there's people in my life, like, that are here in the room, you know, that know me, you know. There's people I wouldn't want to post on Facebook everything they know about me, you know. In the room, and to just hang in with those relationships and like continue to disclose, you know, and try to be who I am, you know, is such a huge thing and such a huge gift. And I didn't come here looking for that. You know, I didn't even come here looking to get clean. It wasn't about getting clean. It was about not having the consequences that I was having from the way that I was getting high. and the frequency with which I was getting high. I wanted to get it under control. I wanted to get my shit together. I just got to get my shit together. And I still find myself saying that, you know, when other defects of character come into my life, you know, lately it's been overeating and smoking. Those are two of my favorites lately, you know. But there's a third one that was on that list, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. On a regular basis, it isn't on that list, you know. And there's another one that was on that list a few years before that isn't on that list, at least right now, you know. In fact, the overeating and the smoking aren't even happening today. So that's, you know, that's a huge victory for me. And you know, I didn't know about all that. I just wanted to stop the pain, you know, stop the pain. And honestly, I said it before, and I still believe it. If I could, you know, if I could smoke pot on the weekends, you know, have the occasional beer after work, and save cocaine and speed for birthdays and special occasions, I would. I mean, I would, you know, but I can't. You know, because I'm powerless over the disease of addiction, and my life gets unmanageable the second I start trying to change the way I feel. You know, by putting something in me, or you know, or acting in a certain way. And that message, I received that message. You know, that A, that what addiction is, and B, that I have that disease, and C, that like any other and every other addict, that I can stop using, lose a desire to use, and find a new way of life, just like everybody else. You know, like I received that message from a group. You know, from a group. And I often share that one of the first people that came up to me after meeting in the last time I was high, you know, which was also at Solid Playground, in Northeast Philly, Bustleton and Sally, right? There was a guy that shared that, like, my prejudiced head, you know, I evaluated everybody who shared and what I thought of them. I mean, I didn't know anything, you know, but I evaluated what I thought about them, and the one guy that when he spoke, I said, wow, you know, that guy, man, that's a pretty cool guy. You know, he's got it together. I like that guy. A miracle happened because after the meeting, that was the guy that came up to me and gave me the first hug and said, welcome. And that to me was a miracle because, like, in my mind, I needed, like, the right person. You know what I mean? I needed the right guy with the right creds. And I was so in my head, you know what I mean, about who was legit over there. And but other times it was other people. You know what I mean? And I just don't. It's one of the things I don't really, I'll be honest, I don't really care for about this kind of format, you know. And Ellen and I talked about this, you know. But one of the things I don't personally care for is, when everybody shares for a little bit of time, somehow the right stuff that each of us needs bubbles up. I don't know exactly how it works, but I know that it works for me and for so many other people. And I don't like it. It's like, oh, I have to carry the message, you know. It's like, I can't carry the message. All I can be is me, you know. But as a group, when we each contribute what we got, then it really, you know. I'm here participating in this, so I'm not saying there isn't value, and I certainly get value, you know, attending these kind of workshops, and I guess I'm getting some value doing what I'm doing right now. But the thing is, the most powerful weapon, you know, the most powerful tool. What did it say? The group is the most powerful vehicle we have for carrying the message. So right now, what's going on in all here, you know, that's whatever this is, you know what I mean? Like the nodding heads and the nodding period, you know what I mean? And the wringing hands or whatever, you know, that's like, this is the vehicle. It's us together. When we get together, there's something we have that none of us has alone by ourselves. And I value that so much. And I'm such an isolationist by nature. You know, I always want to do, still, I always want to do things my way. I always want to be alone. You're sitting too close to me. back up, you know what I mean? I don't even like, you know, sleeping in the same bed as my wife, you know what I mean? Like, I need room, you know? I wear earplugs, you're going to see it tonight in the room, you know? I just like, I need to be alone, you know what I mean? Like, I need space, you know? But I need more than the space that I need is that I need to be a part of, you know, I need to be a part of the group. So whether I like it or not, I remember going out to movies after meetings early on in recovery and learning for the first time, like sometimes, like if there's like 8 or 9 people going to a movie and 3 wanted to go to this one and 3 wanted to go to that one and 2 wanted to go to another one, you know, like I was like, okay, cool, well, we'll go to the one that we want to go to. And I remember somebody saying, you know, no, that's not what's going to happen. We're going to talk it out. We're going to decide. We're all going to go to the same movie. That was like a really new idea to me. And what the fuck are you talking about? You know? I'll do what I want to do. And, you know, and that always got me into trouble, not being a part of the group. You know? And you know, and I mean, shit, you know. I once had the nickname, you know, Thumbs, because a whole bunch of us, you know, maybe like 15 guys were stranded somewhere once. And, you know, everybody had different ideas about how we were going to get back to where we had to go. I said, well, just fucking hitchhike, man. We'll just hitchhike. We don't have to do that. That's a stupid idea. Come on, we'll just walk over here. We'll hitchhike. And I get pissed off, and I walked out, and I hitchhiked, you know, and I made it back, you know what I mean? And then they made it back some other time, much later. So I proved that, you know, they were a bunch of fucking idiots. Because I got back before they did, you know? You know? So, and I was Thumbs for a couple of years after that. You know, but I isolated myself from the group. I can't afford to do that in NA. And, you know, as a group, there are a lot of things we get into. You know, we get into being a social club and a dating club and a, you know, and a business club and a job finding club and a hiring a guy to, you know, do some work on my house, you know, club and, you know, whatever. And I'd say more, but I won't, you know. But, you know, it's like there's nothing wrong with that. We are, you know, we are a network of people, and there are all kind of things we get into. And, you know, one of my best friends in the world is right here. And, like, you know, we share a love of music. And you know, he's a little older and more experienced than me. So whenever he hears something new that I'm getting into, he's like, oh, yeah, here's another thing, you know, that you might like. And, you know, and there's other people in the room even, you know, who share other things with me, you know. This man shared a bunk bed, 2 bunk beds with me, right, you know. And that's all good, you know, that's all okay for us to have other things that we get into. As long as the primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. That's the first thing, you know. The spiritual path around here, it took me in some funny directions, and I ended up dabbling in an organized religion that I never thought I would dabble in, at least not the way that I later dabbled in it, you know. And you know, and then I found like some community over there, you know, and that was okay, you know what I mean. But then I found some people in the rooms that were into that same thing, and that was pretty cool too, you know, because we share some different things, you know, and that's cool. As long as the primary purpose, right, of us as a group is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. You know? As long as the primary purpose is really crystal clear. There's like number 1 and then numbers like 2 through 100 down here. You know, as long as it's that way, it's okay. I remember standing around in a kitchen also in Northeast Philly. With a guy, you know, who used to pontificate. I don't remember his exact name. Doesn't matter. And he used to always talk about how you can use the traditions in your life, you know. And the traditions are for groups, but you could use the traditions in other ways in your life. And I remember, like, people yelling about them. No, that's not what, you know. People used to fight about everything. You know, I guess we still do. But this cat, I remember, I remember him saying, always ask yourself, like, how else, other than functioning as an NA group, might this principle apply in other parts of my life? So I just wanted to touch on that real quick before I finish. And that's, you know, I have a new I have a new job lately, you know, and you know, it's like, you know, like everything else. Like everything else, when I used to be a home group member at Easy Light Sunday Morning, I used to always say the only difference between a blessing and a curse is my attitude. You know? It's my attitude about it. And, you know, we say there's one thing more than anything else that can defeat us in our recovery. This is what? An attitude. Not just indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles, but my attitude, like, right? My attitude is really important. And I remember, you know, I remember a time going, I just want to own a house to raise my family, and I just want to own a house someday. You know, and then I remember not long after that being like, man, I got to take care of this fucking house, and it's so much work, and you have no idea, there's plumbing, and there's a mortgage every month, and, you know, and then there's a homeowners association, and these guys want to, you know, extort money from you, and man, owning a house is a drag, man. You have no idea how lucky you are to live in an apartment. This is hard, you know. And you know, and everything I've ever asked for, you know, that I've gotten, I've been able to look at it. I've been able to find a way to look at it as a curse, you know, and be pissed off about it, you know. Wife, kids, home, job, education, good looks. Just kidding. You know, I'd say car, you know, but that's not true. And my car's okay. 10 years old, it's fine. But, you know, this job I have is like challenging. So I'm in that phase right now where, like, I'm done the honeymoon of being so excited that somebody trusted me with this job, and it's more money and you know, more stability and all this and that and all kinds of good things, responsibility, etc. And I'm done that honeymoon. Thank you. I'm done that honeymoon phase and in the phase of, you know, like, oh my God, why did I take this job? And you have no idea, and this is difficult, and that's difficult, and something else is difficult. And I was talking to a good friend, on the phone, and he told me about a job. I used to sponsor this guy many, many years ago, and he told me about a job that he's now, like, very prestigious in his field, according to some, you know, and when I was sponsored, see, he didn't kick this up in my face. He's now, like, known. Time knows him, you know. He's, like, known for what he does, you know, and he doesn't spit in my face that when he first was offered a job in that field, I strongly suggested that he not take it. And he has saved probably hundreds of lives, you know, and it impacted many, many more because he did take that job and made it into a profession. And now he's, like, excellent in that field. So that shows what I knew, right? But anyway, he said to me when he took that first job, he decided he liked this idea of primary purpose. He just said this to me last week. He said, I had to decide, what's my primary purpose in this job? And he decided my primary purpose is to be still in the job a year from now. That was his primary purpose, right? And you know, and I was just thinking about that, and I, like, kind of identify what my primary purpose is on my job. What is it? What am I there for exactly? Why did I take that job? And I got clear on that in my head, and things suddenly started to get better. So this principle is really important, you know? And other than staying on the topic, which I hope I did, I'm not positive, but I think I did. But other than staying on the topic, I asked myself, what was my primary purpose getting up here? And I sharing with you today. And what I said to myself yesterday, I have two choices. I can either decide ahead of time what I'm going to say and write a little outline and then go all over the place, or I can just, you know, come up and share and go all over the place. It doesn't matter. You know? So just, what's the one primary purpose that I had? And for me, my personal primary purpose, not talking about group here now, but my personal primary purpose was just to be myself and to let you know that I know that deep inside of me, there's a beautiful spark of something beautiful. There's a spark of something beautiful, and that there's that same spark of something beautiful inside each and every one of you too. And that when we're together as a group, we can do something for each other and for anybody else that walks in that door that no one of us could ever hope to do alone. So thank you for listening to me.